even 32 years after he has physically departed from this world, his ever-existing grace, which is the grace of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, manifesting so wonderfully through him, it's still bringing us together to chant the holy names, to hear the glories of the Lord, to serve one another, and to extend his compassion to the whole world. It was for this reason that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the holy abode of Navadvip, his relatives, his friends, and his loving devotees, swam across the Ganga and ran over 25 miles in his wet clothes, and literally begged and pleaded with Keshav Bharati Maharaj, please give me service to Krishna as a sannyasi. We discussed yesterday the incidents pertaining to the ceremony and initiation of Lord Chaitanya into the renounced order of life, and how afterward, immediately, he danced and induced everyone in the town of Katwa and the surrounding villages to perform Nam Sankirtan. This was his mission. And it was the first thing he did. Induced everyone to chant the holy names. In 1922, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada upon his first contact with our beloved Guru Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, instructed him, you should teach the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world in the English language. You are an intelligent young man. You can do this. Prabhupada was a grihastha then with a child. But he took that order as his life and soul. And for the next 30 years, he prepared himself. In 1959, after his Gurudev repeatedly appeared in dreams to him, telling him, Abhai, come and take sannyas. This was happening for several years. Srila Prabhupada was so humble, so simple, so honest. If you listen to the tapes, he would say, I was thinking how horrible to take sannyas. But these dreams came. His Gurudev was inviting him to take on his mission in life, which means he had to leave everything else aside. Because at that time, no one else was doing it. Back in the 1930s, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent some of his senior most sannyasi disciples and others to England, to Germany, to teach Lord Chaitanya's message. But it was very difficult. They could not accomplish much. And during Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's own life, he brought them back to India. And nothing happened since that time. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was coming in dreams, telling Prabhupada, come, take sannyas. It's the only way you'll be able to do it. You can't have a family, you can't have a home. You have to give your body, your mind, your words, your life, everything. And then some of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, Prabhupada said, my Gurudev was speaking through them. They were saying, Abhay Babu, you must take sannyas. You must preach the order of your Gurudev. And he did it. And interestingly, there wasn't many people. In the Keshava Gaudiya Math in Mathura, he was given sannyas by Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Maharaj. And there was only, maybe there was 40, 50 people in the room. There was at the most 3 people in the room who spoke English. Nobody else spoke anything but Brijabhasa or Hindi or Bengali. And during the ceremony, or just after the ceremony, Keshava Maharaj asked Prabhupada to speak. And Prabhupada gave a lecture in English. Now somebody may have wondered why that makes sense. Now, for some insignificant, foolish person like me, I would have no choice but to give a talk in English, because it's the only language I know, and I hardly know that. But Prabhupada knew fluent Sanskrit, fluent Bengali, fluent Hindi, fluent Brijabhas. He was living with the Brijabhasis in Vrindavan for so many years. He knew all the languages everybody knew. But he gave his talk in English, because the first thing after he took sannyas, he began his mission to teach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message in English all over the world. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to this world internally to taste, Krishna wanted to taste the sweetness of Sri Radha's love. But from his compassionate side, he came to give what no other avatar ever gave. Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaudatveshe Namaha. Krishna's coming to give what even Krishna didn't give. Such free accessibility to the love of the gopas and the gopis of Vrindavan. Opening the doors to Sri Vrindavan Dham and inviting the whole world without discrimination. Come, it is your home. I will bring you in. For the simple price of our faith, our little service attitude, and our sincerity to chant the holy names. It is said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world to put the garland of prema bhakti around the entire world through the chanting of the holy names. So as soon as his Gurudev gave him the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and the ceremony was over, Mahaprabhu jumped up in ecstasy and said, Mukunda, chant! And by his loving gaze and his beautiful dance, he induced everyone to dance in pure unmotivated love for Krishna. And he embraced Keshav Bharati and they started dancing together. That was a beautiful scene. The Lord said, I will go to Vrindavan. I want to go to Vrindavan to chant the holy names of the Lord there. Keshav Bharati Maharaj said, I'm going with you. And everyone in Katwa said, we're all going with you. Now please understand, there was no warning. Everyone went into the forest on their way to Vrindavan. Everyone had the full intention of just going to Vrindavan. Of all those thousands of people, there were children, there were old people, there were women who were married, women who were unmarried, men who were married, men who were unmarried, and whatever else men do. Everyone said, we're going. No one ran home to pack their bags, bring their credit cards. Nothing. Nobody even had an extra set of clothes. They all just left. That is how magnetic Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotional service was. He made everyone so eager to follow him. Whether he was going to Vrindavan or Calcutta, they would go anywhere he went. Because he gave them love for Krishna. He became their life, their soul, their everything. So they all were moving toward Vrindavan in procession. Hundreds and thousands of people. After some time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped and gazed at everyone with great appreciation for their encouragement. And he thanked them all. And then appealed, all of you now, please go home. There's no reason for you to leave. I'm a sannyasi, I'm going. But the rest of you are grihasthas. Just follow these simple instructions. Chant the holy names of Krishna. Hear about Krishna. Serve Krishna. Worship the deity of Krishna. Associate with other devotees. Give Krishna to others. In this way, we will always be together. What he was telling them, in essence, is your home will be Vrindavan if you simply follow these most simple teachings. Filled with ecstatic love, all the people went home. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also requested his Gurudev, Keshav Bharati Maharaj, go back to your ashram, please. And he returned. Then it was just a few devotees. Chandrasekhar Acharya, the Lord's uncle-in-law. And Mukunda and Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted them to chant. And as they were chanting, Lord Chaitanya was chanting so loudly, and he was dancing with such emotion, just thinking that he had given everything up to reach the hearts of even the most sinful, offensive people in the planet. And just the thought that he had given everything up so he can exclusively worship Krishna, and he was on his way going to Vrindavan. He was in such transcendental happiness. His body was flooding over with the most rare ecstatic symptoms. Tears were constantly pouring from his eyes, not in a human way. When tears would pour from Lord Chaitanya's eyes, it could only be seen like that when a person was totally drowning in the ocean of transcendental ecstasy. There was nothing even close to it. He would be stunned. He would be choked up in his voice as he traveled to Vrindavan. And he was so intensely intoxicated with the holy name that he didn't even know where he was going. Nor did his associates. It was contagious. They were wandering through Radhadesh, a place where the river Ganga does not flow. And wherever they went, whoever happened to see Lord Chaitanya dancing with his long, elegant arms raised and his lotus-like eyes, they were so beautiful, they practically extended to his ears. And his beautiful, beautiful mouth crying out Krishna's holy names with such sweet love. Whoever saw him ran to join the kirtan. And he would look at them and say, chant, Hari Hari. And those people would begin to dance, losing all control of their mind, which is actually the ultimate way of controlling your mind. This is a spiritual principle. The ultimate way of controlling your mind is to completely lose control of your mind to Krishna. That means to become so absorbed in Krishna, you completely transcend any false egoistic identity that I'm this body, I'm a particular sex or particular race or particular color or particular religion or nationality or any of these things. They are all upadis. They're all temporary designations. When we become absorbed in Krishna, we see every living being as a part of Krishna. We lose all desires, all selfishness. All we want to do is give Krishna happiness. And Krishna, seeing our desire, is so happy that Krishna from within our heart induces transcendental ecstasy. And that ecstasy helps us to totally overcome everything else. There's no impediments anymore. That's what can happen to every one of us. That is our inherent nature. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna who has come to taste the sweetest, highest, and fullest love of Srimati Radharani. When Lord Chaitanya loses his mind, it's the absolute bliss of love. So they were wandering through Radhadesh, and whoever saw them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would give them Krishna's name and give them Krishna's love. And it was a very remarkable situation because none of these people had ever seen the Harinam Sankirtan procession. It's the first time in Radhadesh that Harinam was performed, just by a few people. For most of these people, it was the first time they ever heard the name of Krishna. It was the first time they ever found out about this kirtan movement. But what an initiation they received. Mahaprabhu was just giving them all ecstatic love of God immediately. And they would all go home to their villages chanting and dancing in ecstasy. As they were roaming through Radhadesh, some little boys who were herding cows, they saw Lord Chaitanya dancing and singing, and they ran up to him with their cows. They ran up to him and started dancing with him, going, Hari, 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 Hari. And the Lord was so happy. He was so happy to see these little boys chanting, Hari, Hari.
Hari, Hari.
That the Lord smiled upon them. And with such eyes glazing with compassion, he patted each one of them on top of the head and gave each one of them personally an instruction. Same instruction. He said, please go on chanting this names of Hari Hari. And then the Lord began to praise them. He was glorifying these little children because they had such good fortune that they had developed a taste for chanting the names of Krishna. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in this regard that in his heart, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was considering his own himself. He was considering himself so very, very successful because he had induced these children to chant the names of Krishna. This is the Lord's love. When he was chanting and dancing in Navadvip to the house of Chankazi, there were millions of people with him. This was the power he had. But here in Radhadesh, there was just a few little children. Whether it was a few little children, or whether it was 60,000 of the topmost scholar Mayavadi sannyasis chanting in ecstatic love and kirtan, Lord Chaitanya was so personally concerned with every living entity. In Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, for Lord Chaitanya, all the wealth, all the opulences in all the heavenly planets, in the entire universe, in fact, do not compare in value to even one of his devotees. There are unlimited devotees in the spiritual world, but the Lord so personally. Now, in this world, the Lord is within our heart as Paramatma. But in the spiritual world, there's no need for Paramatma. So the Paramatma in his original form is playing his flute and dancing and playing with us. So as a Paramatma, the Lord is very, very personally. Please understand how personal it is. The Paramatma in your heart is your personal, private Paramatma. He's been with you birth after birth after birth. Whether you're a snake or a hog or a peacock or a cow. Or whether you're a sinner or a Paramhamsa. That Paramatma's with you. From the moment you come into material existence until you go back to Godhead, that Paramatma is personal God within your heart. And he's the same as everyone else. Everyone else has the same Paramatma, but still, yours is personal. He's with you. Doesn't that make you feel good? But it also should make us feel aware because he's watching. He doesn't only watch the good things, and he doesn't only watch the bad things. He hears, he smells, he tastes, he watches everything. So personally. And in the spiritual world, in our supremely perfect state, that Lord is so personally reciprocating with every single devotee. Nobody thinks, you know, why? What am I doing here? Nobody cares about me. Overwhelmed with affection. And every devotee sees the Lord in each other too. So the Supreme Personality of Godhood who descended from the spiritual world of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such loving concern for every single living being. Now, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was one of the greatest scholars in the entire world. He was practically like the guru and teacher for the king of Orissa. Many of the biggest, most learned sannyasis around India would come to sit at his feet and learn from him. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya woke up early that morning when the Lord came to his door and immediately ate prasad, Lord Chaitanya said, "You're a Brahmin. How are you eating prasad like this without washing your hands or taking your bath or doing achman or whatever else Brahmins do when they very, very strict Brahmins?" He just ate it right out of bed. And he said a beautiful verse, Sarvabhauma. If prasad, even if it comes from a distant place, even if it's stale, still one should eat it because it's Krishna's mercy. And Lord Chaitanya became so happy. He said, "My mission is successful because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, this dry-hearted logician, has understood the greatness of Mahaprasad." And here, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some little cowherd boys. They're not educated. They're not going to be famous preachers or anything like that. They're just little boys taking care of cows. And because they were saying hari hari happily, Lord Chaitanya is thinking that my mission is so successful because I have induced these boys to love Krishna and chant Hare Krishna. That is how personal and loving the Lord is. And he wants us to cultivate those qualities also. So seeing how pleased Lord Chaitanya was with them, they were so very, very happy. They were singing and dancing with him. Then Lord Nityananda Prabhu took the little cowherd boys off to the side and told them a secret. He said, when the Lord asks you which way to Vrindavan, please show him the path on the banks of the river Ganga. And he told him a whole story why. So a few minutes later, Lord Chaitanya, he's wandering through Radhadesh for a couple days, didn't know if it was day or night, didn't know if he was going north, south, east, west, or any of the 10 directions between. He went up to the little boys and said, "Oh, Gopas, please show me the direction to Vrindavan." And as per Nityananda Prabhu's desire, they pointed the way to the Ganga. Now, why did Lord Nityananda Prabhu do this? Because Nityananda Prabhu knew that if Lord Gauranga did not return soon to the Navadvip area, if he did not give his personal association to his mother, Sachi, she would die. And he knew all the devotees, along with Sachi, were totally brokenhearted that he left them. He was willing to take the risk of tricking the Lord for the purpose of doing what he knew ultimately the Lord wanted in the core of his heart. The Lord was in total spiritual ecstasy with the thought of going to Vrindavan. But Nityananda Prabhu knew in the deepest part of his heart he loves his devotees and he wants to save them. Nityananda Prabhu promised Sachi Devi he would bring the Lord back, and he had to keep that promise. They walked for some time, and then Nityananda Prabhu said to Lord Chaitanya, he said, "Look over there. Look, look." The Lord looked. He said, "Don't you see? It's Yamuna. We have come to the Yamuna." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Oh, we have come to Yamuna. We have reached Vrindavan." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in so much divine rapture, he ran to the river Yamuna. He offered repeated prostrated obeisances to the Yamuna River. He took his bath in great ecstasy in the ambrosial nectar of the Yamuna River. He offered beautiful prayers of love. He prayed that, "Oh Yamuna, you are so very, very dear to the son of Nanda Maharaj. And you have descended. You are the same exact waters that flow in the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan. And you have come here into this world just to purify us of our sins and give us love of Krishna. Oh daughter of the sun god, we offer our love and our gratitude to you." What Nityananda Prabhu did is he sent Chandrasekharacharya just about the same time he talked to those cowherd boys, he sent him to Shantipur and said, tell Sri Advaitacharya to come on a boat to the Ghat, which is just near Ambika Kalna, and bring dry clothes for Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya is in ecstasy, and he comes out of the Yamuna River, and he's soaking wet, and he doesn't have any extra clothes. And just then, Sri Advaita Prabhu comes riding on a boat, and Lord Chaitanya looked at him. He said, Advaita Prabhu, how did you get to the river Yamuna? And how did you know I was in Vrindavan? And Advaitacharya said, that wherever you are, my lord, that is Vrindavan. And actually, this is the river Ganges. We're just across the river from my house in Shantipur. And Lord Chaitanya became quite sober. He said, now I understand. Nityananda has cheated me. He told, Nityananda Prabhu personally told me that this was the Yamuna and this was Vrindavan and it's the Ganges and we're near Shantipur. You cheated me, Nityananda Prabhu. But Advaitacharya said, no. Whatever Nityananda Prabhu said is not false. It is true. Because according to the scriptures, at Prayag, the Yamuna and the Ganga, they merge together. And they become one river called the Ganga. But from that point, the western side of the river is the Yamuna, and the eastern side is Ganga. And you took your bath on the western side, that means you took your bath in the Yamuna River. And wherever your lotus feet are, that is Vrindavan. So everything Nityananda Prabhu said is very true. But my lord, you're all wet. Please put on these dry clothes. So the Lord put on dry underwear and then dry outer garments of sannyas dress that Advaita Prabhu brought for him. And then Advaita said, I understand that you've been traveling for 3 days and you haven't eaten anything. He was so immersed in Sankirtan Ras that he and his devotees forgot to eat anything. Usually when we have a fire yajna and a festival and initiation, we have a big feast. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his people, they just left for Vrindavan in ecstasy. Said, you've been fasting for 3 days. I have prepared for you some very simple food. Come and take from my house a palmful of simple boiled rice and some liquid sabjis. Come on the boat. So from that bank of the Yamuna Ganga near Kalna, he got on the boat and Advaita Prabhu brought him to his house in Shantipur. He brought him to the temple. And the Lord and Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya and Mukunda was there. They saw the beautiful deities of Advaitacharya. And Advaita showed him the offering that was made. And then there was the aarti. They all attended the aarti ceremony. Then Sri Advaita Prabhu brought him into his special prasadam area. And there was 3 plates, equal proportions on each plate. One was a metal plate, and the other two was very large banana leaf plates. Kaviraj Goswami was so exact that the size of the leaf of the banana tree is according to how many bunches of bananas that tree produces. These particular leaves were from trees that produced 32 bunches of bananas. For those of you who are expert in the science, they're very large leaves. And there are pages of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita describing the preparations. Large stack of finely cooked rice. Each grain was like a perfectional, artistic little masterpiece. And in the middle of it, there was a nice quantity of very fragrant, shining golden ghee from cows. And then there was over 100 pots with sabjis. And there were cakes and sweets and savories. It was an unbelievable feast. And there were three places. Lord Chaitanya thought that all three of these must have been offered to Krishna. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy. He said, whoever has prepared such a nice offering for the pleasure of Krishna, I take that person's lotus feet and I keep them on top of my head birth after birth after birth. This was Lord Chaitanya's pleasure, to see that Krishna was happy. And that's how every devotee should feel. That's what unites a community. It's not about you and me. It's about Krishna. What makes Krishna happy is what's going to make us happy. And what makes Krishna happy? Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. Yasya prasada nagati kutopi. The great spiritual masters, their life, their soul, their everything is just to teach us how to make Krishna happy. We may live in a shack like Kolavecha Sridhar, or we may live in a beautiful home. But if Krishna has a nice place, we should be happy. If Krishna's eating nice prasad or nice bhoga, we should be happy. Whatever we may have, that's our real happiness. As long as we think, I need this, I need this, I need this, your desires and your wants and your needs will perpetuate anxieties birth after birth after birth after birth after birth forever. Until we come to the point finally that what does Krishna want? And what will make Krishna happy? Krishna wants us to cooperate. That's a pretty difficult thing in Kali Yuga. Prabhupada told us the story of the two sons that were massaging the father, and each wanted the attention of the father. Each wanted the father to think that he's better than the other son. So one son would reach over to the other side and pinch the father. Then the other son would reach over to the other sons and scratch him. And the other would reach over and stab him. The other one would reach over and bite him. Just so that the father would think, you know, the other son's a rascal, but I'm so nice. But who's, is the father happy? The father's happy when we give all credit to everyone else and we do everything we can. Amanina manadena. This is foundational principle of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. to offer all respects to others and expect none in return, to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of a devotee, was in that spirit. How wonderful! I take the dust of the feet of that person who makes such a nice offering to Krishna and keep it on my head, birth after birth after birth. And then the Lord said, now make us get two extra plates for Nityananda Prabhu and myself, and just give me a palmful of some simple rice without all that ghee, and I'll take some boiled sabjis. And Advaitacharya said, actually, this seat is yours. The middle one is for Krishna, but this is for Nityananda Prabhu, and this is for you. Lord Chaitanya said, "That I can't eat so much." He said, no, you just eat what you can eat. He had nice, soft cushion. Lord Chaitanya said, I just took sannyas. Sannyasis cannot eat so many varieties of food. They will not be able to control their senses. And this is so much quantity. Advaitacharya said, just eat whatever you want to eat, but sit down and eat, please. Whatever you don't eat, just leave it on the plate. Lord Chaitanya said, it is not the duty of a sannyas to leave remnants on his plate. And I can never eat so much. Sri Advaita said, do not delude me. In Jagannath Puri, you are eating 54 offerings a day. And each offering is hundreds of pots of food. These three plates are not even three morsels for you. So please stop all this word jugglery. Sit down and eat prasad. Well, Lord Chaitanya said, Mukunda, Haridas, come eat with us. And they were outside. Mukunda called out, my lord, I have a pressing duty to perform, so I'll come a little later and eat. And then Haridas Thakur said, I am the most sinful. I am the lowest from man of all human beings. And I will just later on, I will take one palmful of remnants standing outside the door. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda honored them. They began to eat, honor the prasad. And it was so much. It was so good. Sita Thakurani, Advaita Prabhu's wife, prepared everything. And Sri Advaita Prabhu offered it to Krishna, and he was serving it. And every time Lord Chaitanya would eat something, he would take sabjis from the bowl. When it was just about half empty, Advaitacharya would be right there to fill it up. Then he'd go on to another one, and it would be half empty, and Advaitacharya would come to fill it up. And Lord Chaitanya was saying, this is too much. I can't eat so much. And Advaita said, no, all I expect you to do is just leave everything half empty. That's all. Just eat half of it. Leave everything half empty and I'll be satisfied. But every time it was half empty, it would be filled up. And Nityananda Prabhu, he looked at this prasad and he and Sri Advaita had such an intimate, loving relationship. And bhakti, it's the most serious of all serious things. But within that very deep seriousness is the most sublime humor. He began to joke. He said, Advaita, He said, I've been fasting for 3 days, and now looking at this tiny, trifling quantity of prasad that you prepared, I understand I'm going to have to fast another day? He said, what I see here is not fit to even fill half of my belly. I have to keep fasting? I've come to your home? And Sri Advaita said, I am just a poor Brahmin. And I'm giving you whatever I can, the best I can. And you're an avaduta. You're a... Nityananda Prabhu was considered at that time to be... He wasn't initiated, but he was something like a sannyasi. He said, your custom is to travel through the forest and eat fruits and roots. And when you come to somebody's home, your duty is just to accept whatever they provide. So this is what I'm providing for you. So please give up your greedy mentality. Nityananda Prabhu said, you are a Brahmin. It is your duty to fill my belly up. You invited me to your house. And Advaitacharya said, you are a reject Paramhamsa. And by coming to my house, you have come to destroy all my brahminical regulations. Now just eat. So they were eating, and Advaitacharya kept filling their bowls and filling their bowls and filling their bowls, and Lord Chaitanya was saying, please, enough, I can't eat anymore. And Nityananda Prabhu, he said, there's no use even continuing eating because there's just not enough here to satisfy me. I feel cheated. Then, smiling, he pretended he was angry. He took a handful of rice and in a pretending to be angry mood, he threw the rice in the ground. He said, no use eating this. And 2 or 4 of those pieces of rice bounced off the floor and hit Advaita's body and stuck to him. And Sri Advaita Prabhu, in his heart of heart, felt completely purified by touching the remnants of the great Nityananda Prabhu. But in a joking mood, he began to dance like a wild man. And he said, because I have been touched by the food of a madman, therefore, now I have become mad like him. He was dancing and dancing like a madman. And Nityananda Prabhu said, you are calling it food? This is not just food coming from my plate. This is Krishna's Mahaprasad. You have made an offense to Krishna's Mahaprasad. The only way for you to nullify this offense is you have to invite hundreds of sannyasis to your house and feed them sumptuously. Then only will you be forgiven for this prasad aparad. And Advaitacharya joked. He said, after serving a sannyasi like you, I will never ever invite a sannyasi to my house ever again. You have spoiled everything. In this way, they were joking, and both lords ate to their full satisfaction, and Sri Advaita Prabhu, he washed their hands, he gave them very, very aromatic, sweet chewing spices to refresh their mouths, and then he had nice beds for them to lay on and to take rest. And then Advaita Prabhu came to massage their lotus feet. And Lord Chaitanya said, Advaita, you go take prasad with Mukunda and Haridas, please. So as Gornitai rested, Sri Advaita Prabhu went to take the remnants of Nitai Gaur Chandra's Mahaprasad with Haridas Thakur and Mukunda Dutt. Meanwhile, Chandrasekhar Acharya was sent by Nityananda Prabhu to Navadvip to give the news to Sachimata and the devotees that the Lord has returned. That night, the people of Shantipur and the neighboring villages heard that Lord Chaitanya, Nimai Pandit, had taken sannyas and was at the house of Advaita Prabhu. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people came. And Sri Advaita Prabhu personally danced and chanted in great ecstatic love. And Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda just watched Advaita dance for 3 hours and were in such spiritual happiness to sing the love of Sri Advaita. And finally, Lord Chaitanya uncontrollably stood up with Lord Nityananda Prabhu and they danced for the next 3 hours. As the citizens of Shantipur watched in great awe and wonder. The next morning, Chandrasekhar, also known as Acharya Ratna, he put Sachimata on a palanquin. And the devotees carried her from where is now the Yoga Peet to Advaita Bhavan in Shantipur. And all the devotees came along with her. When they arrived outside of Sri Advaita Prabhu's house, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu came out to see his mother. He is now the crest jewel of all sannyasis. The Lord offered his dandavat pranams, his prostrated obeisances again and again and again to his mother. And Sachi Devi, seeing her son, could not say a word. All she could do was cry in happiness. She was thinking she would never, ever, ever see him again. And here he was. Yes, he was a sannyasi. But Sachi Devi, in pure spiritual love, she placed her son on her lap. And caressed his limbs with her hands in motherly affection. And she tried to see him, but there were so many tears in her eyes that she could not see him clearly. She took note that his most elegant, enchanting hair was shaved from his head, and that deeply agitated her heart. But seeing his beautiful moon-like face, which shone with a brilliance that captivated her heart, and his elongated lotus-like eyes, his nose, which was like a sweet sesame flower, his lips, which were like the bimba fruit, his teeth, which were like pearls. She gazed into his face and tried so hard to see, but her eyes were uncontrollably flooding with tears. And then with a very choked voice, she spoke, She said, "My darling son, my darling Nimai, please do not be cruel like your brother Vishwaroop. When he entered into the renounced order of life, he never gave me his audience ever again. If you follow the way of your brother, I will certainly die. Please, please be merciful to me." Lord Chaitanya replied, said, "My dear mother, please hear what is in my heart. This body belongs to you. I personally have no possessions. I do not possess anything. This body was born from you. It was raised by you. And it was nourished by your selfless and pure love. I cannot repay the debt that I owe you, even in millions and millions and millions of births. Knowingly or unknowingly, I have accepted this renounced order. Still, I promise you, I shall never be indifferent to you. My dear mother, wherever you ask me to stay, I shall stay. And whatever you order, I shall execute." Saying this, the Lord offered his obeisances to Mother again and again and again. And Mother Sachi took the Supreme Personality of Godhead on her lap again and again and again. And she kissed him again and again and again. And she caressed him and she embraced him again and again and again. And all of the devotees were feeling the ultimate happiness to see the love between the Lord and his mother. Then they all went inside the house, and the Lord greeted each and every one of the devotees. We were discussing for the last few days love and separation, the Vipralamba Bhava. How the devotees suffered just with the expectation that in the future Lord would tell sannyas. And how they suffered when he left home. And how their suffering ever increased when they heard that he did take sannyas. But that suffering is the highest ecstasy. Because material suffering, which causes misery, is when our desires are frustrated. It's due to illusion. But love and separation is when the Lord in our heart arranges this feeling of deep hunger for him only to reciprocate more intimately within our hearts. Separation increases our love, increases our attachment, increases the conscious awareness of how absolutely necessary Krishna is in our life. And that separation transcendentally vitalizes the experience of meeting infinitely. So now, after all that turbulence of separation, the Lord was back with them. It was a pleasure to their hearts that can never be estimated or explained properly. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced each devotee. Just his glance and his smile was the greatest treasure, the most valuable wealth in the 14 worlds for them. It's all they wanted. Just a glance, just a smile from the Lord was more precious than everything else, and they would have given up everything for that. Rupa and Sanatan gave up immense wealth. Raghunath Das Goswami, King Prataparudra, was prepared to, just for a single glance and smile for the Lord. Although the devotees were very, very unhappy at not seeing the Lord's beautiful hair, they nonetheless derived the greatest happiness from seeing his beauty. Srivas Thakur, Ramai, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Gadadhar Pandit, Gangadas, Vakreshwar Pandit, Murari Gupta, Suklambar Brahmachari, Budhimanta Khan, Nandanacharya, Kolavecha Sridhar, Vijay, Vasudev, Damodar Pandit, Mukunda Dat, Sanjay. Kaviraj Goswami says these are some of the many, many devotees that were assembled to meet with the Lord at the house of Advaita. And by the Lord's divine influence, everyone began to chant the holy names of Lord Hari. This was the kirtan of reunion. They kept each other alive the last 3 days in Navadvip with kirtans and separation. And now there was the kirtan of union. They were dancing with Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda once again. They danced. And soon so many other people from Navadvip were coming and so many people from all different villages. Sri Advaitacharya had such an enthusiasm to serve that he arranged accommodations and special prasad for all the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that came. How is it possible? Whatever food he had, he would serve it. And as much as he would serve, there would always be just that much still left. That was his mystic power. Advaitacharya is Mahavishnu. But he's in a much happier lila than Mahavishnu. Here is the supreme Purusha, Karanadakshai Vishnu. And Mahavishnu, he exhales, and what happens? All creation, all the planets and the universes are manifested. He inhales, all the universes are annihilated. So he's the original creator of the cosmic manifestation. And here he is, that same Mahavishnu, and he's also Lord Shiva. Vishnu's who's also a creator and a destroyer. And here he's finding his greatest pleasure using his supreme mystic power to just keep creating enough prasad to serve all the devotees and all the guests. And everybody was there throughout the day. They would just see the beauty of Lord Chaitanya and watch the friendly behavior of Sri Advaita Prabhu. As the devotees would discuss Krishna Katha throughout the day, and all night they would perform Nam Sankirtan. Sachi Mata cooked. She cooked. She was in charge of all the cooking for Lord Chaitanya. And seeing her beloved darling Nimai eating her food again was the greatest pleasure to her heart. And through the nights when they were performing Nam Kirtan, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in so much divine ecstasy to be with his devotees again, chanting the holy names. Sometimes he would jump way, 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 way high up in the sky. Then he would fall unconscious and fall in the ground. And Sachi Devi was watching this. She prayed. In her heart of hearts, she prayed for only one benediction. She said, "My dear Lord Krishna," because she's not seeing Nimai as Krishna. She's praying to Krishna. "I have served you my whole life. Ever since I've been a tiny little girl, I've been serving you. For all the service I've done for you, I'll exchange all of it if you just give me one benediction, just one benediction, my Lord. That whenever my beloved Nimai jumps in the sky and falls to the ground, please make it so he does not feel any pain." That is Sachi Devi. Her only desire. She doesn't want liberation. She doesn't want promotion to Vaikuntha. She doesn't want mystic powers. She doesn't want anything. She only wants that her Nimai is happy. The devotees were so enthusiastic. There was a line of them headed by Srivas Thakur inviting Lord Chaitanya to where they were staying for prasad. And Sachi Devi very humbly spoke to all the devotees. She said, "You are all the Lord's friends. And you will see him so many times in so many places. But as for myself, I cannot leave my home. And sannyasis are not, they are not known to come to their family homes. So this will be my only chance. I beg you, please give me the blessing that as long as Nimai is here, that I could cook for him." When the devotees heard that, their hearts melted. They praised Sachi Devi and said, "Yes, this is excellent. Sachi Mata ki jai." And Sachi Devi every day cooked wonderful feasts for Lord Chaitanya and his loving associates and personally watched him eat with the greatest happiness. We have been hearing the last couple days about the anguish of separation of Sachi Mata. But our scripture tells us at the house of Advaita, Sachi Mata's happiness was complete. Her heart was literally overflooding with a shoreless, bottomless ocean of joy. To cook for her Lord again and watch him eat and have him once again in her presence. One day Lord Chaitanya said to the devotees that, "Please know that I will never be indifferent to all of you. You are more dear to me than my very life. Wherever you want me to stay, that is where I will stay. If you want me to stay home here, I will stay home. But I promise you this, we will always have each other's association, and we will be together regularly. So the devotees went to Sachimata and explained to them Lord Chaitanya's thoughts. He's willing to stay wherever we want him to stay. He's willing to stay home, but he'll be criticized if he does. Sachi Devi said that my only happiness is Nimai's happiness. She said, I do not care about my own happiness. I only care for him. Yes, how much I want him to stay home. But if people speak ill of him, that will be worse than death to me. This is love. No selfishness. For a sannyasi who wants to preach, reputation is everything. Otherwise, who will take what the sannyasi wants to give unless they have faith? Sachimata and even Vishnupriya, they were willing to endure anything, but no one should ever have a suspicion or speak ill about Nimai. And then Sachi Devi said, Jagannath Puri, Krishna's living there, just like he's living in Vrindavan as Lord Jagannath. But there's an intimate connection between Puri and Navadvip. Devotees are always going back and forth between the two. They are like two rooms in the same house. And the same Jagannath that lives in Vrindavan is in Puri. So if my son, if Gauranga lives in Jagannath Puri, then I will always be getting news and hearing his pastimes, and this will keep me alive. And all of you could go and visit him regularly, and sometimes he'll come here and bathe in the Ganga, and I will see him. The devotee said, Sachimata, whatever you desire for us, it is a Vedic injunction. It is perfect. They went and told Sachimata's desire to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was absolutely grateful and happy with Sachimata's desire. He wanted to ask leave of the devotees after several days of Nam Kirtan and Krishna Katha and big feasts. Sri Advaitacharya, he said, my lord, please, just stay 2 or 4 more days. Now, when he says 2 or 4 more days, that means 4 days. Altogether, Gauranga Mahaprabhu remained with the devotees, doing all day and all night kirtan, harikatha, and prasad, and just associating with each other and serving each other for 10 days at Advaita Bhavan in Shantipur. Then he was about to go. He asked permission from all the devotees to go. Sri Advaita Prabhu and the other devotees, they said that actually Orissa and Bengal are about to have a war. And there's so many dacoits on the roads. This is a very, very hostile time. There are many obstacles. It's not safe. You should not travel now. Stay here for some time. And the Lord said, when is there ever a time in this world where there is not dangers and obstacles? I will go now. And Sri Adwaita, hearing that, he was very happy. He said, yes. All obstacles on the path are your servants, my Lord. They are all like your slaves doing your will. This is very, very significant. Whatever obstacles, whatever difficulties may come on our spiritual paths, those difficulties are the servants of Lord Chaitanya. They are there to help us to become Krishna conscious, to help us to become more serious about our sadhana, to overcome them, because complacency is a great enemy. When there's serious difficulties, if we are sincere, it will make us very much aware. I need to take shelter of the Lord. I need to access the mercy of the Lord to overcome this. Otherwise, I'm finished. So when there are difficulties in our lives, obstacles in the path, and every great acharya and all the scriptures are stories about the obstacles and difficulties that great devotees go through. Prahlad, the Pandavas, Ambarish, the Vrijabasis, all the associates of Mahaprabhu, Haridas Thakur, Gajendra. In those difficulties, they realize only Krishna could save me. Only Krishna could help me to become successful. And to access Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us, with a humble heart, we have to serve the Vaishnavas. With a humble heart, we have to take shelter of Krishna's words. And with a humble heart, we have to cry for the shelter of Krishna's holy names. With these words, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he offered beautiful prayers of love to his mother, Sachi Devi. Bowed down to her, circumambulated to her, and with her permission, departed. Still, the fact that he was going to Puri by foot, all the devotees were crying. And they all started following with him. And he said, no, you all must stay here. And he gave the same instruction. Just remain together and do Nam Kirtan. And in your own homes, just chant the Krishna's names. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna, and I will always be with you. He walked a distance and then he told Advaitacharya that please go back and keep my mother and the devotees alive. And this was his message as he left for Puri. I will always be with you if you together sing Krishna's holy names. I just remembered I'm scheduled to sing Damodar Astakam, so I have to actually immediately run away. But we will continue the narration of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sannyas Leela tomorrow evening. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.